When we welcome ministers to come and speak, we are welcoming the gift of God in them. Because that's what we want to draw from. If you expect to get something from me when I'm up here, you're going to be disappointed. But if you start drawing on the gift that God has put in me, you'll never be disappointed. Because you will hear the Holy Spirit say things that I didn't say. And I've had that happen so many times. So this morning, as we welcome Brother Ron, the man of God, for today, we're going to welcome the gift of God that is within him. And we're going to put a demand, a draw from our spirit to the Spirit of God that we receive what the Holy Spirit has for us through this man today. So if you're ready to receive from the Holy Spirit, then let's welcome Brother Ron as he comes.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Renee. Are you guys hot this morning? Okay. Sometimes I don't know if it's just me because I come off the drums or... Okay. All right. I was just making sure. We will get that fixed. And I'm so glad you guys are here this morning. Welcome to the next chapter of Destiny Church International. I am excited about what God's doing in this place. You know, not just in this place, but in me, in the leaders that we have here. I'm excited about what God is doing here. I'm overjoyed so many times when I have the opportunity to teach. It's not something I particularly like doing because of that. Sometimes I can't spit words out right. But I know that God has a calling in my life. I know that He has more for me, that He has greater things for me. And unless I tap into those gifts, I'll never go anywhere. I won't grow. I have to use the gifts that He's given me in order for those gifts and that faith to grow and develop and mature in me. And when that happens, I can help pour into other people. That's why we minister. That's why we do what we do. You know, the Word says that we honor our mother and father. And I'm honored this morning to have my parents here. They have done what they were supposed to do and trained me in the way I should go. And it will never depart from me. Never. Now, it's up to me to grab onto that calling. It's still my decision, but whatever I do, it will never depart from me. And so I just want to say thank you to my parents for training me, for loving me. But to have parents that love the Lord and love their children enough to pour into them. And so with that, I say thank you for always being prayerful and mindful of the things of God. Thank you for that. And also, I'd like to welcome the guests that we have that I see. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning. Thank you, our friend Vicky. She's from Michigan, so treat her nice. Treat her with some Southern hospitality, just like you have me. So, Michigan's a great place sometimes. So, as I said, welcome to the next chapter of Destiny Church International. You know, so much has been happening. So much has been taking place ever since the day that we found out Pastor Mike and Miss Sherry were stepping into their next chapter. We have seen so much taking place, and it blows the mind to see what God has been doing and how it's been taking place. God has a plan. He has a purpose, and we're to pursue that purpose. Now, how many have ever went on vacation? Show your hands. What did you have to do to take that vacation? You had to begin to what? Plan. Prepare. Why were you taking a vacation? There was a purpose for that vacation, right? Now, did it just happen by itself? No. You had to pursue to make the plans, right? That's what we have to do. We have to know that there is a plan for Destiny Church International. There is a plan for each and every person in this body. You have a purpose. And it's up to you to pursue God for that purpose and to get that plan for your life. God has a plan. He has a purpose for that plan, and we're to pursue that with fervency. Now, the plan is the intended course, is the intended outcome. The purpose is the reason or the desire for that outcome. The pursuit is the unwavering and undeterred action to see it to the finish. Having purpose gives you focus. When you know the purpose of your life, it gives you focus to pursue what God has for you. And to know that anything else is just a distraction. When you have purpose, it gives you the focus to know that there's going to be distractions. And that you can't let those distractions keep you from pursuing. Because Satan's going to try. He is going to try. With everything he has, he's going to do his best to distract you, to pull you away from your plan. A plan without a purpose is just a wish. A purpose without pursuit is just a tragedy. When you have a purpose and a calling in your life and you don't pursue that, it's a tragedy. But God's a God of grace. If you haven't, He is graceful and merciful. That you can start anywhere, at any time. Because God loves you. He loves me. And He loves for us to go after Him. That's what He desires, is for a people that will go after and pursue everything God has for them. Mark Twain is quoted as saying, "The two most important days in life are the day that you are born and the day you find out why." It's so important to know what your purpose is. God puts you here on this earth for a purpose. That's a great day. But it's an even greater day when you find that purpose. Find why you were put here. What reason do you have to be here? Because we all have a reason. We all have a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. And he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, we've all heard this scripture hundreds of times. But today it takes on new meaning. I speak that in the prophetic. That you will see the things that God has for you. He knows the plans. He knows what He has in store for you. What are the purpose of those plans? To give you a future and a hope. Because without hope, there's nothing. We have to have hope. We have to have that desire that drives us, that compels us to go further beyond what we think we're capable of doing. What is that driving force? The love of God. God's love that He has for you is what drives you, because He first loved us. Because Isaiah 55, it tells us that His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts higher than our thoughts. That we're not on the same level as Him. That we can try to have plans for ourselves and try to figure it out on our own. But He's on such a higher level that we cannot comprehend the plans that He has for us. The thoughts that He has for us. Because we're like this little itty-bitty speck on the way we think. That sometimes I believe God just goes, oh, if you would just open up. If you just open up, I can show you greater things. Grander things than you could imagine. So first, we must seek the plan of God. Second, we must search out the purpose for that plan. And then we have to pursue it with everything that we have in us. Unwavering, undeterred, without stopping, without distractions, keeping you from pursuing that. Don't mistake the plan with the purpose. The purpose is just that. The purpose why you're here. Don't think that just because God has put you doing something that, oh, this is it. This is it and I'm done. No. That's why we have a purpose, but we have many plans that God has for us. And I believe those plans are revealed as we get closer to completing that plan, that God begins to set up more things that says, I've got more for you. It don't end here. As you grow and as you strive for reaching what God has for you, and you fulfill certain plans, that He says, I've got more. The plans are many. The purpose is this one thing. Now, purpose purpose has so much to do with why we're here. In Exodus 9:16, when God was dealing with Moses, and He was telling him what He was going to be doing, that you're going to go before Pharaoh, and this is what I want you to do. He gave him the plan of action in order to bring the Israelites out of captivity. And He tells him, He says, but indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show My power in you, and that My name may be declared in all the earth. We know that our purpose, whatever your purpose is, even though it might be different from mine, excuse me, that our purpose still has one main focus. One main theme running through all of our purposes. That God is lifted up. His power is seen in us and through us. And that His name is declared in all the earth. So no matter what your purpose is, we all have one focus for that purpose. You know, in Romans 8:28, he tells us that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. All things work together to the good, to those that love God and are called according to whose purpose? His purpose. Not my specific purpose, but His purpose. Now, does that mean everything is just hunky-dory and just going to work out perfectly? That you're not going to have any problems? You're not going to have anything trying to block your path? No, but everything works together. Just like it says in the Word, He fits us jointly together. We all have particular abilities and skills, talents, giftings that God has put in each of you. That when we get together, it fits together like a jigsaw puzzle. Like a jigsaw puzzle. We all have different looks. We all have different functions. But when we fit together in unity, all things work together to those that are called according to His purpose. And when we're in unity, there's nothing that can't be done. Nothing that can stop us from fulfilling the purpose of God. Now, purpose, I like having sometimes two things to look at in one word, I guess I could say. We have a purpose in our lives. But also, I want to take the first part of 2 Corinthians 9, and it's pertaining to giving. But what they say here is, let each one person give as he purposes in his heart. You have to purpose in your heart to follow and pursue that purpose. You have to purpose in your heart. It's not just going to automatically happen and not everything just fall into place. You have to purpose in your heart to give of yourself, to give yourself to the calling of God. You have to purpose yourself for the purpose of God. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. We were called with a holy calling, not according to what we do, how we try to make things happen. Because let's admit it, we all try to sometimes take over what God has for us. Sometimes we try to implement our own ideas and thoughts into it. That's why God tells us, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So don't try to put your ideas into God's plan. Don't try to put your ways into God's plan. Not according to us, but according to His own purpose. If God has not revealed the plan to you, you end up pursuing the wrong plan. No matter how good in itself it looks, no matter how Christian-like it sounds, even with the best of intentions, if you bring your own ideas and your own plan into it, it's not God's plan anymore. And you end up forfeiting the fullness of God's blessing. I don't want to forfeit the blessing that God has and what I'm doing. And this morning, what I want to do, I want to share a brief, I say brief, it might be take a little bit of time. How many have heard of Kenneth Hagin? In one of his books, he gives a great example of what happens when we begin to implement our own ideas into God's plan. And it says, on October 1st, 1979, we started healing school at the Rima campus at the Lord's direction. Started out, God says, this is what I want done. At the Lord's direction, you begin this school of healing. Through the years, we received marvelous testimonies from people who had been healed. We had a custom of beginning these healing classes with someone leading singing. Many times we would spend 45 minutes just singing and worshiping the Lord. Now, does that sound like a bad thing? No. One day I was going to healing school and the Lord spoke to me. It was so real. It was just as if someone were walking beside me. And the Lord said, "What is the purpose of this meeting?" I answered, "It's a healing meeting." "What kind of meeting?" "A healing meeting. And we're teaching others how to minister to the sick. That's the purpose." Then the Lord said, "It's not a worship service." "No," I said, "it's not a worship service." "Then don't try to have a worship service. Only sing a few songs, just enough to get the congregation to participate. And go right into your teaching." So we stopped conducting our healing school as we had been. We got in line with God's plan. We sing and praise 15 minutes or so, and then we go right into our lesson. The area of worship was not the only place we missed it in conducting our healing school. Without realizing it, we drifted into counseling business. Eventually, we built a building called the Prayer and Healing Center, and we put in counseling rooms. People came in by person or by telephone for all different kinds of counseling, marital, financial, spiritual, and so on. After a while, we could sense that something wasn't right. It seemed as if though we were washing our feet with our socks on. So I prayed. My wife and I prayed with the leaders of the Prayer and Healing Center. We asked the people to gather regularly for prayer at Rima to pray about that with us. One night during the prayer meeting, as I knelt beside a chair on the platform, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "You preached James 5:14 and 15 for years. Did you ever notice it is the prayer? It is prayer and healing, not prayer, counseling, and healing. Of course, you teach people the word. That's what the lessons were about as we had the daily teaching on healing. But the Lord said to me, go look at the sign on your building. It says Prayer and Healing Center, not Prayer, Counseling, and Healing. I didn't tell you to counsel at all. You added that. Then he said to me in just these words, don't counsel anybody except the people of your own sheepfold. You can counsel employees and students and at the school because that's your sheepfold. Do not counsel others. If they need counseling, they ought to counsel in their own sheepfold. And if they don't have the sheepfold, that's where the problem is. So in all that, he gave several instances that God gave him a plan and a direction and a purpose. But he began to deter from that plan. He began to add to that plan. Now, as I said, was it sinful that he was having worship service? Was it sinful that he was counseling people? No. But it's not what God directed him to do. When you do that, you begin to step into other people's purpose and take from them what they're supposed to be doing. You stick to what God tells you to do. Now, I know we're supposed to operate in love, and someone comes and says, hey, I want this. But unless God's directing you, you need to, in love, say, I'm sorry, but that's not what God wants me to do. You need to find the person that God wants to counsel you. I know it's hard that we want to help people. When you operate in love, you want to help people. You do. And sometimes we inadvertently step out of the will of God to help somebody. So as I said earlier, it's not that it's bad intentions, but sometimes we, with the best of intentions, get out of the will of God. And when that happens, we're forfeiting the fullness of the blessing. Now, another thing I want to bring out is in Psalms 127. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, you can do all this stuff. You can begin to build things and cause things to happen and get things rolling. But unless God is the one building it, it's not going to succeed. It will not succeed. You can put all this work into it, all this time, all this heartache, and you saying, God, this is what we need to do. But it's not what God has, and there's only so far that blessing's going to reach. So you can actually build something for a short time, but it will not succeed the way you think it should because it's not God's plan. Now, here's the difference. When you put work into something that you're trying to build, Satan will attack it and cause it to fail. Now, when God is in it, Satan's still going to attack, but the difference is it will not fail. It will succeed because it is built on the right foundation with the correct builder, not you. God is the builder. He's the one that's doing the work. Take your hands off of it. Let Him do it. Unless the Lord builds the house, they what? They labor in vain. But I want to take it a step further. They labor. The fact that they labor in vain is good to know that you don't want to have to do that. But the whole fact that you're laboring is what I want to bring out. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor that try to build it. Let the Lord do the work. It's His plan. Things will get done a whole lot easier if you keep your hands off of it. In Matthew 11:28, He says, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here He's telling you, you've been trying to do this on your own. You've been trying to build your own plan, do your own kingdom here. All you have to do is turn to Me because you're weighed down with labor. And I'll give you rest because I will be the one that builds. I'll tear down what you've already done because it's not what I've wanted. And I'll do the work. We have seen this take place back months ago when we began to know that the next chapter was coming. And we began to pray. And the word was given to us that I am doing the work. I have already begun the things that you don't see yet. I have already begun to prepare the things in the spiritual and in the natural. And all we're supposed to do is pray what the Word tells us to pray. All we're supposed to do is seek God for the plan. and He'll do the rest. Because when we done that, we saw things take off fast. And we didn't have to do anything. We just sat back and go, whoa, really? Really? And the things that were confirmed to us was so exciting. We were like, no way. No way. Are you serious, God? And all we could do was laugh and say, it's not us. It's nothing we've done. We're not the ones that are trying to go out there and, okay, come on, let's get people. Hey, would you like to come? Would you like to come? No, we said, God, we do have a couple people in mind, but we're only going to do this because it's 100% you. Has to be 100% God, otherwise people get hurt. Families get hurt. Church bodies get hurt. So He's saying, if you're laboring and you have the weight of these things on you, come to Him for the plan. And He'll give it to you. He'll give you rest. Because again, He's the builder. The only thing that we are supposed to labor in is labor in love and labor in the harvest. That's the only thing the Word tells us that we're to labor in. So why do we take it upon ourselves so many times to labor in these other things and cause problems for ourselves? Because that's what we're doing. We're causing problems for ourselves. And then we're saying, God, why isn't this working? I'm trying to build a church for You. I didn't tell you to build a church. You're trying to do it on your own. We have to let God build. Back in the days when I was a builder, if someone came in that didn't know they was doing, I wasn't going to let them do anything. Because I'd end up having to tear down what they messed up. It took time of training, showing, time for them to learn before I would begin to let them help. That's the same thing with us. We try to go in, think we know, oh yeah, I can do this. I can do it. God, I'm ready. And we get in there and we start trying and we fail. And we want to blame God. God, why? Why? Why does this have to happen? And He's saying, I don't know. Why? Why? Why are you doing this? You're letting it happen. This is you. You want to do the building. Here's the consequence. This is what's going on because of what you're doing, not me. So quit pointing the finger at me. Get in line. Get in line. Another thing that we deal with is we might have the God-appointed plan, but we don't have the God-appointed timing in it. So many times we get excited and full of zeal and we say, yes, I know what God wants me to do. And we jump right in and we start doing it and we fall. God, this is what You wanted me to do. What are You doing? Again, He's saying, what are You doing? Why? I didn't give You the release to do it yet. There were still things in you I had to prepare. There were still things in you that I had to bring maturity out of you before you was to do this. You stepped out before you were supposed to. But I still love You. I still love You. And there's still hope. There's still hope. And there's still a purpose for you. I've got great things for you. God's a God of love. He's not going to thump you on the head when you mess up. He says, all you got to do is come back, look to Me for what you're supposed to be doing. I experienced that in my line of work where I release somebody to try to do something and they do it. They think they're doing it good and they don't, and they mess it up, and they come back and they ask, what did I do wrong? I say, it's okay. We'll get it fixed. We'll correct it. Let me show you what you've done wrong. That's what God wants from us, is to turn back to Him and say, what am I doing wrong? Where am I missing this? Show me so I can get back where I need to be, back doing what I need to be doing. Pastor Mike said this a couple weeks ago, God's timetable and our timetable are rarely ever on the same page. Because we have a passion to do what He wants us to do, and we miss the timing. It could either be we jump in too quick, or it could be just the opposite. We operate out of fear, and we hesitate because we don't know what's going to happen. He knows the plans He has for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. So don't miss the timing. But if you do, there's grace. There's grace. Sometimes God's plan for you is to go through the fire, to go through a hard place in your life. He's either building or testing your faith. He's either building or testing your faith. So don't flip out at the first sign of trouble. First time you see something not going right. Here's the key. As long as you are listening for and hearing God's voice, you're in the right place. As long as you're hearing His voice, you are in the right place. We don't like going through the fire. We don't like those hard times. But God knows that it's going to build us. He wants to test us so we can see, I can do this. I can have the faith that God wants me to have. The Word tells us we need to build our faith. And when we go through those times in the fire, He does not withdraw His hand. It's always there. He'll never leave you, or He'll never forsake you. He says, I will see you through this. First Corinthians 3 and 13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So when we go through the fire, that's going to tell us what work we're doing. Is it the work that God has for us, the work of the Father, or is it our own work that we're trying to see? The fire is going to reveal of what work it is. The fire will show whether it's going to stand or it's going to fail. So don't freak out when you have times of fire. Now, if you're doing your own thing, then maybe you do want to say, oh no, I've messed up. But you know what? There's grace. Grace. God's love is so much greater, so much deeper than you can even comprehend. As I said earlier, how do you forfeit the fullness of your blessing? By getting out of the covering of His shadow. Psalms 91 tells us, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." It is in the secret place that you get your spirit in sync with the Spirit of God. How are you praying? Are you hearing His voice and following His leading? There's two points that I want to give you in this. Point number one, stop praying to get for God to bless what you're doing. Stop praying for God to bless what you are doing. Because if it's His plan, then He already is blessing it from the beginning. So why are we asking for blessing when God says, "I'm in this and I am blessing it"? And He will continue to bless it as long as it's His plan. And all we're supposed to do is thank Him for the blessing. That we acknowledge, "God, this is You. This is what You're doing. Thank You for the blessings that You have for me." Point number two. Start praying that you hear His voice clear and correct from the beginning, through it, and to the end. Start praying that you hear His voice clear and correct from the beginning, through, and to the end. Pray that His will and His plan is manifested in your life and on the earth. So we stop asking God for His blessings on the things we're doing, and we pray, "God, I need to hear Your voice so I know that what I'm doing is correct." Not just at the start, because just like we saw with Brother Kenneth Hagin, he started out with the direction of God and then began to add things into it that wasn't what God wanted. But you know what? Because he continued to pray in it, God showed him, "This is where we need correction. This is not what I wanted, and so this is what you need to do." So you pray at the beginning, you pray through it, and you pray it until you see it completed. So many times we're so easy to do that. We start out that in prayer, God gives us something, and then we just go and we forget to continue to seek Him. We forget to continue to be in prayer over it. And when you're not in prayer over what the plan that you're doing, that God has for you, you add your own ideas. You add your own ways. You begin to deter from that plan. No matter how good, no matter how best of intentions that you have doing it, it's not what God has. Don't add or take away from His plan. Any diversion from His plan is no longer His plan. It becomes yours. The Bible tells us that man's way leads to destruction. So I don't want anything of my personal feelings, my thing, in what God's doing. Because if I begin to let my ideas creep into it, it leads to destruction. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. He will remove obstacles that block your way." Because of the grace of God and man's imperfection, I believe, just like with the shadow of the Almighty, that when we begin to get out from under what His plan is, because of His grace, I believe He still is merciful on us and will bless us But if we continue in that way, if we continue down that path of what we're having our own ideas added to it, that we forfeit that blessing. Because God is a God of love, grace, and mercy. He knows sometimes we're still trying to our best to operate out of pure motives. And so because of that, He has mercy on us. And sometimes blesses things that really we're not supposed to be doing according to His plan. But God has grace. He knows we're imperfect. He knows sometimes we still miss His voice. We still miss the things that He has for us. He says, just come back and ask me. I forgive you. We'll keep moving forward in this thing, and you're going to see that you don't have to do anything if you let me be the builder. Even when things look like they make no sense at all to you, when things around you seem to be shaking and that impossible mountain is in your way, trust that God knows the outcome and it must be good. Because for the enemy to be fighting you so hard, it's got to be good. Submit your life to the author and finisher of your faith. Always acknowledge that God gets the glory and credit for every good thing that you do. Every good thing that you do. And so this morning, the call is simple. Simple. Am I following the plan that God has for me? Am I doing what God wants me to do? And if you're not, it's as simple as seeking after God, saying, show me where I've messed up. Show me where I've got off here. Help me get back. Help me do what I need to do. There's no condemnation here. No condemnation. God knows your heart. We love God and want what He wants. That we will listen for His voice and do exactly what He is saying. So if you're here this morning, and you want someone to agree with you, it's not anything that I can do in myself. I can't bring correction. I can't show you. But I can agree with you. Because where two are gathered together, the Word says, I am there. I am there. And if it's not me, we've got other people that can pray with you. That we want you to know the purpose and the plan that God has for you. Not just in your personal life, but part of this body at Destiny Church International. You don't think that you're past a certain age to be used. No matter what age you are, no matter how young or how, I don't want to say old. People don't like that word. How mature, thank you. You have purpose. You have a plan that you're supposed to be pursuing. And when you get into that plan, we will see things in this place that this mountain has not seen. And I can say that not just this mountain, but this state we can affect the course of this mountain because of God. But God. So if you're here this morning, I if you need prayer for anything, you can come up and we'll pray for you. But if you're seeking God, if everyone just bow your heads this morning. If you're seeking God this morning and you know that there's maybe areas that you haven't sought after what God has for you, that you haven't done the seeking and the praying, God says, I love you. It's going to be okay. But from this moment on, let me receive that this morning. Give it to Him. Give yourself to the calling of Jesus Christ that He has in your life. If you would, stretch your hands to God. Just take this moment to say, I will go if you say go. I'll wait if you say wait. That you will not leave me. You will always be there. And receive His word this morning. That He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Somebody needs to receive that this morning. He loves you. He says, stop rejecting my love. Stop rejecting my love. It has always been there. And it will continue to be there. Just receive it. Receive it. Why is it so hard for us to receive the love of God? Why is it hard for us to accept that God can love somebody like me? But He can. This is where it's going to start, is when you receive the love that God has for you. Because until you receive the love of God and accept what He's done for you, no plan is going to be effective. No purpose is going to have meaning unless it's in love. Receive His love this morning. Receive it. Lord, You will not withdraw Your hand from us. That Your plans are good and perfect. That You give us hope. You give us the purpose we need. And Lord, I just proclaim right now and speak into the spiritual that there is a reception to the seed that has been planted this morning. that the hardened heart is softened only by you, that the seed begins to sprout and take root, that it grows and develops, that the enemy cannot steal what you have planted. He cannot steal. Satan, you can't steal it. It's not yours to take. So back off. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your voice. We thank you for the gift that you have given us. Lord, I say thank you. Lord, and I lift my hands in honor to you. To say I bless your name. I honor and magnify who you are above everything that is faced. Every circumstance, every trial that I face, you are greater. And I want your plan in my life. I want your purpose to drive me. And I want your love to compel me to see it complete. Till you say it is finished. That I don't stop until I hear it is finished. Well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, if there's anything else that you need said, Lord, let me be the vessel. Lord, as we just take a moment, if you pray in the Spirit, begin to pray in the Spirit. That God's got something. That the Spirit is wanting to release something. Because I don't want to miss what you have. Put the enemy under your foot. When he's under your foot, he has no effect. He has no power. No power. Don't let up. Don't let loose. Because the moment you do, the attack is back on. You have to be tenacious. You have to be aggressive and violent against the enemy, because he's going to be violent against you. Be bold. Be bold in the Word of God. Be bold in the abilities and the giftings that God's placed in you. trust in those giftings and those abilities because God's put them in there. Trust it. Trust the one who's put them there. Amen.